You're listening to The American Dream with Jay McNally on Wham Talk 1600.
Okay, and welcome back to This American Dream with Jay McNally. But I, of course, am not Jay McNally. This is Gary Wellings sitting in for Jay while he's up at CPAC and feeding us some great interviews today. So before we get back to our interviews, we have a quick announcement I wanted to do for Jay. Students for Life of Michigan is hosting its annual Activism and Training Conference next Saturday, March 31st, at the University of Michigan Student Union. This event will bring pro-life students together from across the state to activate and train them in defense of life on their campuses. Americans United for Life, Catholic Vote, Live Action, Students for Life of America, and many more speakers are going to be featured. Please encourage students you know to attend. Registration and details are available at sflm2012conference.eventbrite.com. Now, that's a long one. Following the conference is the annual Young Professionals for Life reception from 6 to 8 at the Student Union. There will be a screening of Citizens United's Gift of Life movie featuring Governor Mike Huckabee. Rebecca Kiesling, who tells her pro-life story in the movie, will be the featured guest. Pro-lifers of all ages are encouraged to attend to learn more about Young Professionals for Life. So Jay set us up with the author of Branding Obama Messiah, and this is Dr. Mark Taylor. And we have Dr. Mark Taylor joining us right now. Dr. Taylor, how are you?
Hey, doing well. We're here at Michigan CPAC.
And did you speak already, or are you going to be speaking later this afternoon?
I spoke this morning and presented Branding Obamasiah.
Okay, and I'm kind of looking at that right now. It looks interesting enough for me to go actually buy this book. Tell me a little bit about it.
Well, I was teaching at a university in Chicago, and teaching in communication and teaching advertising students. And we were looking at how the big brands, Apple, Nike, Oprah Winfrey, developed and gained their devoted, ravenous followers. And I'm in Chicago, and just up the road is Barack Obama's campaign headquarters. And I'm watching, and Team Obama was doing exactly what these big brands did to gain their consumers' devotion.
And
now, go ahead.
And it really is. It's just a marketing ploy, and that's kind of what we've seen our presidential elections turn into, haven't we?
Absolutely. What Barack Obama did was follow what I've termed the Sacred Six, a devotional code. And let's compare Barack Obama, say, to Apple, okay? They both have a creation story. Apple's creation story, Steve Jobs, his partner Steve Wozniak, they create the first personal computer in the Jobs family garage. Well, when did you hear Barack Obama's creation story? At the 2004 Democratic National Convention. He talked about how he was going to be overcoming racism, how he was the embodiment of the American dream. It was a tremendously inspiring story. Apple has sacred words. Think different. iPod, iTunes, iMac, iPhone. I means you. The Obama campaign, everyone knew their sacred words. Easy to remember. Hope, change, believe. And he's got new ones for 2012. Let's look at Apple's sacred images. The bite out of the apple. You remember those ads with the silhouettes dancing, little white earphones in their ears?
Yes.
All right. What were Barack Obama's sacred images? Well, he was out there with halos, posing next to Superman. Artists mashed him up with Abraham Lincoln. They painted these patriotic power portraits, and of course, Secretary's hope image. 500,000, that's 500,000 posters and 300,000 stickers in circulation of that image. Obama was so appreciative, he gave Ferry a letter of appreciation. But those are the sacred images. Sacred rituals, let's look at apples. You walk into the Apple store, it's like walking into the Temple of Mac. Going to meet the Macworld Trade Show, going to the Holy of Holies. It goes beyond just engaging in the computer. Barack Obama's sacred rituals? Well, you were certainly going to rallies, but as well going online. He was a master and still is, of social media. And as well, his fans would go on pilgrimages. They were going to the restaurants that he ate in, to the barbershop that he got his hair cut in Chicago, collecting all of his relics. You know, there was an entire economy built on Obama stuff. And then, of course, Apple has its true believers. You know, you see, these are people who are dedicated.
Yeah, and the true believers in Obama's campaign are just that. I mean, it is fanaticism on a scale that I cannot remember at all in my lifetime.
It is a remarkable degree of dedication. Yes, and this is what we saw, and he was able to engage that because people wanted to believe in the message and in the man, in the candidate. And that final element of the Sacred Six, the leader, the charismatic leader. You look at Apple's charismatic leader, Steve Jobs. Is Apple going to be the same without him? No. But what Obama did was he took politics to a new level. He became actually a messianic figure, a figure of divine hope. Somehow people believed that he was going to save the country. So with these six elements in operation, the devotional code, the Sacred Six, the Team Obama didn't simply, they weren't selling a set of high-tech gadgets. They sold America its first celestial presidential candidate. They sold the country a political messiah.
Yeah, they sold us a bill of goods, didn't they?
I don't know that everyone knew the bill of goods that they were signing on to, because what Team Obama sold and what folks voted for, I believe, in 2008, for the most part, was the persona that was presented to them. The persona that this candidate was going to save our economy, that this candidate was going to save us from war, that this candidate was going to save the country. He ran not so much to preside as to save.
And do you think this marketing ploy will work through this next election, even though all the facts show clearly that he has not lived up to the hope and change? It's really become more of a hopeless change when you look at the facts and figures. Do you think he's going to continue and just double down on this marketing ploy?
Well, we all know that Barack Obama hasn't delivered on his promises. And America wants deliverance because it's not getting better. It seems to be getting worse. So what is he doing? He's not taking responsibility. He's putting blame out. He's blaming the Republicans. He's blaming Congress. He's blaming the 1%. They're responsible for barricading his grand project, for barricading his messianic vision. For, you know, and I believe that as you see 2012 start ramping back up, you're seeing some of the same kind of language, some of the same kind of images come through that you had in 2008. And what they're asking is, he'll get there. He just needs four more years. That's all it's going to take. When he started his reelection campaign that first day, it was in Cannon Falls. And the first image that you saw, I don't know if you remember this, but it struck me like really nothing else. He was standing by a river, rolling gently behind him, trees swaying in the background. The frame had him from the waist up in a white shirt, and he was almost seemed to be beckoning his audience to believe in him, to come and cross the Jordan over to the promised land. It was a scene that you would have placed in any scene showing Joshua or Jesus. It was a remarkable image. And so I think that, yes, they are calling us back to that same kind of candidate. Well, think about the road we've traveled, this 17-minute film that Academy Award winner David Guggenheim just put out. Do you remember the interview that you just did with Pierce, the fellow that took over for Larry King?
Yes, I did.
Amazing. What was Guggenheim's confession during that interview? Well, you know, Pierce said, "Hey, you know, typically in a documentary, you've got at least some negatives that are going to balance out the positives. In this 17-minute film, all we see are positives." And Guggenheim's response was, "Well, that's all there was. The only negatives were that he couldn't put through some of the things that he wanted to do." And that really, I think, is going to be the Obama agenda, the Obama message for 2012 as the year progresses. The barbarians at the gates haven't let him, the unwashed heathen, haven't let him put through that message, that haven't let him put through that legislation. They're fighting Obamacare. They're decrying the stimulus. They're not acknowledging the accomplishments that he's made. And so they're doing all of this to really, I think, as you'd stated initially, to cover over the fact that it hasn't worked. He hasn't delivered. He made big promises. And so they're Team Obama is stepping up into high gear to work to reframe this. And because once you run as the Messiah, where is there to go?
Right. Right.
I mean, when you step up from man to deity, where do you go? Well, you have to stay there.
Yeah.
And so, and by deity, I mean, you know, he was not so much campaigning during 2008, and he's not so much campaigning now. His first reelection commercial, he looks in the camera and he said, you know, what needs to happen, neighborhoods need to get together. Communities need to organize. A movement needs to build. A movement needs to build. He's not campaigning. He's building, rebuilding, reestablishing the movement that carried him in 2008.
Yeah. Well, let's hope it doesn't move in his direction this time. Dr. Mark Taylor, it's been fabulous having you on. I'm so glad we got a chance to talk to you. And you are welcome to call me here at WHAM and try and get on my show. I do a Sunday 8 o'clock to 9. It's a little early for some people, but I'd love to have you on again and explore this, because there's some questions about the O in Obama, symbol that I'd like to ask you about, but we're running into a break right now. So I've got your information. We'll get hold of you and have you on my show one of these days.
I look forward to it.
Thank you so much.
Talking with you today.
Dr. Mark Taylor, the book is Branding Obamasiah. All right, so we're going to head into a break, and when we come back, I think we do have one more guest, and we'll wrap up the show after that. So we'll see you on the other side.